This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
And good morning, everybody, on this Saturday. I hope everybody's having a good day as we get into the weekend, and this will be a very fascinating weekend with an NFC Championship game, an AFC Championship game, some good basketball going on, and even some college All-Star games. We'll be here for the – actually, we're going to be out a little bit early today. Washington State basketball pregame starts at 11:30, so we're here from 9 till 11:30, taking your phone calls at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's get started with some headlines. Well, I tell you what, I don't know if I've seen a championship weekend where there's so few injuries. The injury report came out yesterday, and there's only three players on it. Two of them were backups, and one, of course, being significant, and Ben Watson, starting tight end of the New Orleans Saints. He's going to be out, had an appendicitis, so he's out, but that's it. I mean, all four teams, I mean, the Patriots didn't have a single injury. The Rams didn't have a single injury. Just amazing to think that there's not much going on there. But nevertheless, it's going to be a healthy game and two pretty high-scoring games, I think, tomorrow as we watch the Saints take on the Los Angeles Rams in New Orleans. And then, of course, you got Kansas City hosting the New England Patriots. In National Football League news, Scott Linehan was fired by the Dallas Cowboys. It was interesting earlier in the week. Jason Garrett said he was going to keep Scott Linehan. Then all of a sudden, next thing you know, I guess they have a meeting on Wednesday, and on Friday they announce his firing, so he's not going to be the offensive coordinator in the league anymore. Basketball this afternoon, 2 o'clock. It's going to be Cal taking on UW. Cal right now is should be an easy victory, I think, for the most part. I mean, this is supposed to be a good stretch of games right now before they take on Oregon for the Huskies. Huskies are now 13-4. They're 4-0 in the conference, trying to get to 5-0. Then, of course, next week, big game coming up against Oregon. And those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go with JB in Renton. Hey, JB.
A fine Saturday morning it is, Mr. Clayton. How you doing today, my friend?
Doing well. How about you?
Oh, I can't complain. You got championship football next coming up tomorrow.
I know. You got to love that.
Yeah. Hey, before we talk about this, Scott Linehan, yeah. Don't you think that was totally just a PR move? Because, you know, you hear all the fans rumbling and crying and complaining about Scott Linehan's offense, how he's not being creative, how he's not getting the ball down the field, and blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. Don't you think Jerry Jones was listening to the chatter of the fans too much about that?
I think so. I don't think there's any question.
I'm sorry. Go ahead on, Mr.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I think he's listening to the fans and, you know, reacting like that because, I mean, you know, last I checked, and I know that, you know, they tend to get a little too conservative. You know, that's not good. But still, I think he's a good coach, and he does a good job with that team. And so now it comes down to, okay, let's let him go. And then, you know, the fans wanted him out. And so, again, it's like it just shows you Jason Garrett, you know, has to do basically what Jerry Jones wants. And again, we don't know for a fact that that's going to be the case is why that firing happened. But still, I think you have to speculate that Jerry basically said, hey, I'm listening to the fans here. The fans want him out.
Yeah. I agree because you look at it from this. I look at it with Scott Linehan. You look at the Cowboys and how they're built. I mean, they just got Amari Cooper into the flow.
Right.
That was a good. I mean, when you get rid of Dez Bryant and Jason Witten out of the equation, I think about 65-66% of their offense, particularly in the red zone, walked right out the door when those two guys left.
Mm-hmm. So agreed.
When you bring in Amari Cooper, you got a young tight end. Alan Hearns was merely a deep threat. He wasn't really a real good, you know, route running receiver. He was primarily a deep threat receiver. I mean, the man was working with minimal. Run the ball and try to play keep away from other opposing teams. Mm-hmm. And then, not on top of that, the offensive line broke down. You know, you had some key injuries on the offensive line. But I know fans don't look at those things and see where the team is at and what the guy was working with as far as what he could do with the offense.
Right.
You know?
Well, just like, I mean, even the criticism that happens here in Seattle, you know, here's, mm-hmm. and you know, you don't turn things around overnight, right? It takes time. Yeah. And so this was the first year and they established the running game. And so, you know, as the season goes on, if they win and they score 30 points, then everybody's happy. Okay. But then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, if they lose, well, they need to be more creative. They need to do more things with Russell Wilson. You know, they need to throw more screen passes and that. It's like, yeah, fine. Next year. But this year, the idea was establish the run. And, you know, you look at that Dallas game, say what you want. It was 14-10. They were leading in the fourth quarter. It was the defense that gave up the two touchdown drives.
Yeah, they were still in that game. Yeah, definitely. I agree with you, because when you look at it, the way that you look at it, the way your team is built and what you have on the offensive side, and then defenses eventually, they're going to catch up to you as the season progresses.
Right.
So the point totals are going to go down some ways and somehow. The point totals are going to start to go down, you know, because a defensive coordinator, he gets paid, too, on the same side, on the other side of that ball to come against you.
That's correct.
So he's going to do his due diligence in order to slow you down, you know. And I think the Hawks, the way they were going on their offense, they were on schedule. They were moving things on schedule. Now, once they get a few more intricate parts within their offense, it's gonna start looking a little better and better. But for now, they have to do, you know, you can only go to war with what you got, Mr. Clayton.
Right.
That's it. You can only go with what you got. Now, let's talk about some of this in these two games coming up tomorrow. We should start with New England and Kansas City. Now, I look at the way New England beat up on the Chargers. Do you think the Chargers, them coming from the east, from the west to the east two times in a week, do you think it took toll on them, or they just didn't know how to respond to what New England was doing?
It was a bunch of things. I mean, because I anticipated that was going to be a factor, and it was. I mean, because, you know, would you come to Baltimore, then you go to Boston, then you got your body clocks going differently, and you know from here, you know, Pete Carroll has been able to master a lot of that 10 o'clock starts on the 10 o'clock West Coast starts, 1 o'clock East Coast starts. Well, now the Chargers haven't been able to master that, so they were caught cold by that, and I think that hurt. Then of course they made the bad strategy of going out there with the 7 defensive backs. I mean, really silly. I mean, it worked the week before against a non-passing Lamar Jackson, but now you've got Tom Brady, and two things happen in the sense that, one, he's going to get the ball to the running backs and flare passes and little dink passes and stuff like that. And then, you know, you're out there without linebackers, and so now you're lighter. I mean, you're, what, 20, 30 pounds lighter per player, so now you're going to get pounded physically.
That's true, definitely. And then also, you know, it's a fact that the way New England's defense had the ability to control the line of scrimmage, and I mean, they frustrated Phillip Rivers out there. And I understand he had a couple of calls that he didn't like during the duration of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I was impressed the way they maintained that Charger offense, because that's a pretty good offense. Now Melvin Gordon out there with the two knee braces, that just tells you that he wasn't really fully 100% healthy to be out there to run the ball.
Right.
In that instance. The thing that was most impressive is how they handled Bosa and Ingram on the defensive, on the offensive line of New England Patriots, how they handled those two guys. It showed their size and how you can muscle them around, you know, out there in that game. Yeah, another game that really bothered me was Kansas City and the Colts. What do you think about that? You think the Colts just didn't show up, or the... You know, I mean, they caught it at the end, coming to the end of the game when they, you know, Adam Vinatieri, that was out of character for him to miss that extra point in that field goal.
Mm-hmm.
That could have brought it the game, if all intents and purposes, if it would have worked out, it would have brought the game within 7 points. But is Kansas City, can they handle New England tomorrow, Mr. Clayton, you think?
I think they can, yeah. I really do.
You think so?
Yeah, because what I think that happened, you know, because remember, the Patriots have not won a road game in a playoffs since 2006. You know, they had two games, and this is where I think it can happen, because, you know, Patrick Mahomes this year did not have a game where he scored less than 26 points. Okay, so now here's New England. They've had, in this stretch of 8 consecutive conference championship games, you know, they had 2 games in Denver. They scored 16 and 18 points. Now, again, we agree that the Chiefs' defense isn't that good, but now are they going to be able to match what the Chiefs can do offensively? And I think that the Chiefs have a great chance to win. I really do.
You know, and I tell you, Patrick Mahomes, have you ever seen a quarterback that can do the things that he does with the football? I mean, it looks like a pitcher out there throwing the football.
No, he's fantastic. I mean, and this is probably the time now where, you know, he steps up and he becomes the new star of the league. And, you know, you saw it all through the season. He's the most valuable player, and I think he's going to get them in. I really do.
Yeah, and I tell you that Tyreek Hill, Mr. Clayton, for a wide receiver, he is a nightmare.
Oh yeah.
And then you got Travis Kelce out there also. I think he's the best tight end right now in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
as far as that's concerned, right there. Those two guys, they are matchup nightmares. But that Tyreek Hill, oh my God, how can you control that guy?
He's so fast. No, he is just remarkable. I mean, great, great player. And I think that they have enough firepower. I mean, hey, technically for talent, I can't maybe say that, because they have so many holes on the defense, particularly in the secondary. But I just think this matchup favors them. And now, if the game was in Foxborough, I'd be saying a completely different thing. I'd say the Patriots are going to win. Yeah. The game's not in Foxborough.
And it's supposed to be some inclement weather over there tomorrow, too, huh?
Yes.
Real bad weather over there. Yeah. So, and you know what, Williams, the kid Williams, he's really surprised me how he runs the ball with him.
Mm-hmm.
That was very impressive of, how he runs the ball. You know, Kareem Hunt is a guy that is hard to replace, but he's doing a pretty admirable job of running that ball.
Agreed.
Yeah.
You know, that it's funny because they actually got a break because, you know, they were going to go with Spencer Ware as the running back, and he's kind of a nice veteran backup inside runner, right? But Damian Williams has a little bit of speed, some pass catching ability, and so he recoups some of the things that they lost with Kareem Hunt. Not everything, but some things.
Some things he's done. Now let's go to the NFC side. I know the Rams are coming. You're talking about Ben Watson is confirmed he's not playing tomorrow.
He's not going to play tomorrow. No, I mean they say he's questionable, but he's got an appendicitis.
Yeah, he has appendicitis. Yeah, that's right. And Keith Kirkwood is out, too, also.
Right.
I think, yeah. But other than that, everybody there is full. How do you see this shaping up as far as that's concerned?
I just think that it's going to be a high-scoring game. I mean, you know, on the Rams' side, the positive is they'll have Aqib Talib. They didn't have him in Week 9, so they'll have a little bit better coverage. That'll help. You know, and Ndamukong Suh, it's funny, in the last 2 weeks of the season, started recognizing, oh, boy, I have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And so knowing that, he picked up his game that he didn't do during the season. And last week on the game in Saturday night against in that win, they were able to get he had his best game. So I think that now he gets it. And so that could be. But I just think, you know, the game's in New Orleans. They score a lot. They got their defense is good. I just think the Saints win.
The one thing, you know, also that with the Saints, in the last game they played the Rams, they didn't have Ted Ginn Jr. there. He's going to be there this week with them.
Right.
So that, you know, I know we're talking about Aqib Talib does make a difference on their defense because I watch him in the pass coverage. He's the one guy that can get out there and get some coverage. But the Saints didn't have Ted Ginn. I think if anything, if the Saints have to do anything, they have to establish the run. Have that ability to run the ball. Even if you're not getting 4.5 a carry, I think you still have to just give that implication that you still can run the ball.
Right.
You know, because what that does, I think what that does, that'll put their offense on schedule. And I really want to see if they can stop the run and make Jerry Goff win that game.
Mm-hmm.
If it comes down to that. Can Jared Goff go on the road and take care of business?
Good question. I think that's going to be one of the challenges. And, I still think the Saints, I think it's going to be a Saints-Chiefs Super Bowl. Would you be happy with that?
I would be happy with that, Mr. Clayton. Me and you would have seats right at the 50-yard line, sir. I would love that.
Yeah, I think you can handle that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely I can handle that. That would be entertaining, too.
Oh, yeah.
Very entertaining. Oh, yeah. That would definitely. Right quick. Some of these coaching moves in the NFL that you see coming up right quick. What do you think about the Pittsburgh Steelers losing Mike Munchak on the offensive line? I think that's a big loss.
Oh, it's huge. No, it's absolutely huge. That's one that I don't know if they can really recover from because, you know, he's so good and he makes that line so good that that's very problematic. I mean, I think right now they're in trouble because, you know, you lose Munchak, they're going to trade Antonio Brown, you know, Le'Veon Bell's out of there. I think they're in trouble.
From a great offense that they have right now, they're going to take two intricate parts out of that offense, and plus losing that offensive line coach. Mike Munchak has turned into a very good offensive line coach. I like particularly how he worked with Villanueva.
Right.
Turned him into a real good tackle.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I was impressed with the way
And then, of course, I mean, even some of the things that he did to fill in when they had some injuries to Ramon Foster and to Marcus Gilbert.
Yeah. Yeah, he did that's why when I
yeah,
when I
no, really, hey JB got to run.
All right, Mr. Clayton, enjoy the games. We'll talk next Saturday, my friend.
All right, sounds good. 866-979 ESPN 206-421 ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
866-979 ESPN 206-421 ESPN. Let's go to Raider Jim. Hey Jim, how are you?
Well, good morning, John. How are you?
You're doing well.
Oh, good, John. Good. So, John, I'm just thinking that Tom Brady's going to have something to say about your outcome in Kansas City.
No, he does, no doubt. But at some point, I mean, now remember, it's like, you know, it's been pretty, I mean, again, he was 29 years old the last time he won a game on the road in the playoffs. You know, and again, so the successful formula that they have is 31 out of the 38 playoff games they've had at home.
Yeah.
And again, this is how good they are. They take advantage of the easy schedule in the division. They come back and they, you know, because they win five or six games. Then they'll have a bye week because they're sitting at 11 or 12 wins. And all they have to do is win one game, and you got the championship game there. Pretty good formula.
I see that. I see what you're saying there, John. You know, I guess I'm just sentimental. You know, I'd like to see Drew Brees make it through. I'd like to see Tom Brady make it through. Two 40-plus quarterbacks. What do you think, John?
I'm looking for change right now.
I'm
happy with Drew Brees going there.
Sure.
I just think, you know, Patrick Mahomes, you know, you think about this, and you know, you suffered through this, since 2001, there's only been four AFC quarterbacks that have gone to the Super Bowl and won. Only four.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And that's, five wins by Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger winning two, you know, two by Peyton Manning on two different teams. And then, you know, the final one being, Joe Flacco, and that's it. Nobody else.
Right. Nobody else. Well, you know, here's the thing, John. I mean, Kansas City hadn't been there in a long time. And I understand you're very high on Mahomes. You got to see him play this year, of course. And that's fantastic. He's going to be a force in the NFL for many years. And if it's a change in regard, you know what? I welcome it. Here's what I think is going to happen, though, John, is that I don't think the Kansas City defense is up to speed. And I think they played really well last week. But they're up against it against Belichick. Belichick knows defense like nobody else. He knows how to exploit an offense like Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, here's the other thing. Andy Reid, what is his record in the playoffs? I don't think it's a stellar one, John.
Well, but here's – and again, this is where the circumstance changes. You know, so much – you can talk about the coach, and the coach can get you there, but it's a quarterback that wins it, okay? So he's had Donovan McNabb and Alex Smith, okay? Now, how do you stack them up against Tom Brady and the three quarterbacks that I mentioned in the AFC?
I got you, John.
And
I'm
then,
hearing you out here.
Yeah, and then you add to it. It's like, so now their thought was, hey, you know, if we get Patrick Mahomes, all of a sudden we can start getting up to 11, 12, 13 wins, and then we get home games in the playoffs. Now, remember, they were 0-6 in home playoff games. They had not won a home playoff game in Kansas City since Joe Montana in 1994.
Right.
What did
right.
Patrick Mahomes do last week? He just ripped apart and put 31 points in a Colts team that was the hottest team in football.
Uh-huh. Okay, John. Well, you know, the great thing about it is, John, is this is the great weekend to watch it all play out. I mean, it's going to be awesome tomorrow to see those four teams. And congratulations to those four teams, too, for making it through. I mean, it's going to be exciting for all of NFL fans to watch it and experience it. And we can talk about it until we're, you know, anyway. Now, John, I'm thinking about the future for the Raiders and their 24th and 27th pick. I'm thinking that maybe they'll push those, they'll give those to someone else. Like we talked a little bit about theorizing about Antonio Brown. They could give them the 24th or the 27th pick. That's almost a second rounder anyway and bring them in. But what do you think if they trade down from their number four spot? I mean, are there teams, I think there are teams out there
Oh, yeah.
that want to get a quarterback. and need a quarterback, but it's not a quarterback rich draft. So what do you think might happen there, John?
Well, what I think is going to happen, and follow me on a couple different ones. Number one, I think that the Jacksonville Jaguars will trade above number six New York Giants to try to get the Ohio State quarterback. And so they can be in play. San Francisco can be in play. The New York Jets can be in play. All right. So between two and four, because all you're looking at there is, you know, real good defensive linemen. Like, I think at this stage, I have them taking the Alabama defensive tackle, Quinnen Williams. So I can see that. All right. So now, so I think there is a possibility of that. And at seven, they can still get a real good pass rusher or defensive tackle. So that could be a possibility. So I can see that happening. Here's my proposal. Okay.
Yes.
So I think that, you know, they need a defensive guy with the 24th or 27th pick. If you're John Gruden, because again, you know, four teams at the top all need receiver help, right? So including the Raiders. So if you're the Raiders and you're San Francisco, you can't trade the second pick for Antonio Brown. If you're John Gruden, you can trade the 24th or 27th pick. You have more clout to get Antonio Brown. So now let's say that they go ahead and would you endorse that trade?
I would, John.
Antonio Brown's going to be – it's funny because I was thinking that maybe the Steelers would take Derek Brown, but, of course, no, they're not going to take Antonio Brown's cousin. But if you can give them 24 or 27, you're going to top anything else being offered by any other team, and now you get a 30, 31-year-old wide receiver who's one of the best in football.
Indeed. You know, we talked a bit about it, and I have a stated knucklehead moratorium, John.
Uh-huh.
But I also think that it makes really good sense. He's a difference maker, and you know, and he's not necessarily age appropriate. We talked about that, but he's a starter in this league. He's a difference maker. He's medically clean. He works hard. Gruden has said of that as much in his post conference when they beat the Steelers this year. He said, and I've never met another receiver that works as hard as Antonio Brown. And he also said, look, I've seen Jerry Rice play on the practice field and on the gridiron, and Antonio Brown's the best. Now, that is high praise. I mean,
Did you see that Antonio Brown's been communicating with Jerry Rice, and he wants to get out there and run the hill with Jerry? Now, you can say, okay, so that means he wants to go to the 49ers, but I did remember a little stint that he had with the Oakland Raiders.
Indeed. Well, we'll see how it all plays out, John. It's going to be a great thing.
It'll be fun. Hey, thank you for the phone call. Let's go to Ed in Shoreline. Hey, Ed.
Morning, JC.
Good morning.
Hope you're having a great Saturday.
Great. I am. It's going to be fun.
So you're still not going to Kansas City? It looks like it's going to be a balmy 29 there tomorrow now.
I took a pass on it. I got a lot of stuff to catch up on anyway, so as much as I wanted to, it's like, the Arctic blast, and the travel is going to be tough anyways. I haven't checked to see how the flights are to Kansas City, but you know that the middle of the country is wiped out. So if I was going through Chicago, probably have like 2,000 flights have been canceled today so far with the snow.
Yeah, I gotcha. So the last time Kansas City was in the Super Bowl, Richard Nixon was president.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it was his first term, and Len Dawson was the quarterback. You remember those?
I do remember that, yeah. It was a long time ago.
Len Dawson was involved in some questionable gambling scandal that didn't turn out to be true at all.
Right. And that was all Super Bowl week. Everybody was dissecting it and looking at it and all that stuff. But, yeah, you're right. It put all the pressure on him. But, I mean, I don't know. Where do you stand on the Kansas City-New England game?
Tough game. I think that I like Kansas City because being at home, it's interesting. Both games, the line is just 3 points for the home team. I almost think it's kind of a cop-out line. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's going to be by far the most interesting game. Not that Drew Brees versus Jared Goff isn't a good game. It's a good game, but Patrick Mahomes, the newcomer, against Tom Brady, the old pro. I think it makes for a good story.
Oh, it does. Oh, there's no doubt. I think that that will be kind of fun to watch. But in the end, I mean, again, let's put it this way. there's so many things that I think teams need to look at when you're looking tomorrow. Because first off, you have the four highest scoring teams in the league. You have four of the best offensive play callers in the league. You have good offensive lines. You have all the good wide receiver, three receiver sets, and all that stuff. I mean, there's so many things that you need to study that you can pick up on. I know Brock Hewitt and Mike Salk had a good one yesterday. They were looking at it and it's like, what can the Seahawks pick up from all these teams? And like the Kansas City screen passes, some of the passes that the Patriots, get to their wide receivers, the offensive line blocking of the Rams, the creative fourth down aggressiveness of Sean Payton. That's the other thing that these four coaches have. They're all going to go on fourth down. It's amazing.
Yeah, I agree with all that. And in terms of what the Seahawks can pick up from these games, I agree with you. The screen pass is a big discussion with the Seahawks. It seems like since their inception, they've had difficulty executing it well, and that played out in the game against Dallas as well.
Yeah, but again, I think it's just a byproduct that you have the first year, you're turning around, you're setting up the offense, and you heard Brian Schottenheimer after the season saying, there'll be things we'll add to it. Well, I mean, they had the one game in Minnesota, I think it was, where they had 14 passes to the running backs. And so it's you can't just change everything and get all of a sudden. You can't have the Rams defense overnight. Simple as that. It takes some time to build it up. Hey, Ed, thank you for the phone call. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Adam Teicher from the ESPN.com. Talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
And joining us right now, Adam Teicher from ESPN.com, covers the Kansas City Chiefs. And, Adam, it's like, you got to feel so strange because, I mean, you've been covering this team so long, doing such a good job, and finally you get to cover a game with the Chiefs in a championship game. That's something you have not, I mean, something you almost thought, that's never going to happen.
Yeah, John, my first year on the covering the Chiefs, I was sort of the backup guy at the time. The Chiefs played in the AFC Championship game. They played the Bills in Buffalo. I believe you were at the game,
right,
if I remember right. That was my first year. And the Chiefs were barely competitive that day. They lost, I think it was 31-13, if I remember right. It just, they were never really competitive. I think it'll be a more competitive game 25 years later, for sure.
Oh, no doubt. But that's the thing that's, I think, so much fun about this is that are we finally at the stage where, there's been four quarterbacks since 2001 in the AFC that have won Super Bowls. You got Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, Joe Flacco, and Peyton Manning in two different cities. And that's it. Yeah. Nobody else. And I'm getting the feel that this might be the turning point where the next quarterback steps up. And I do think that Patrick Mahomes has a great chance to get to the Super Bowl because he's that good and he's at home.
Yeah, he is. 23 years old. It's hard to believe that in his first year as a starter, he accomplished what he did. And, you just sort of have the feeling that whether or not he gets it done tomorrow and the Chiefs get it done tomorrow, they will get, he'll get more chances. I mean, this won't be his only shot at it. So, it's not now or never, although it sort of feels like that for the Chiefs right now.
Well, I know that some people have been so critical of Andy Reid. His game management isn't this and all that stuff. But, so much of it is in the playoff games, it's still the quarterback. And as good as Alex Smith was, as good as Donovan McNabb was, I mean, I think it's safe to say this is the best quarterback as a head coach that he's ever worked with.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you look at, the Chiefs have had so much trouble in the playoffs over the years, and this goes back before Andy Reid, of course. But they lost 11 of their last 12 games. Going into last week's game against Indianapolis, they lost 11 of 12 in the playoffs. And you look at the quarterbacks that they've lost to in those games. The list is full of Hall of Famers or eventual Hall of Famers. You're talking about guys like Jim Kelly and John Elway and Dan Marino and Peyton Manning twice and Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger and Andrew Luck. The Chiefs just could never counter with that kind of guy themselves. They had some good players, as you mentioned. There was Trent Green started a couple playoff games for the Chiefs, and Alex Smith started a few, and You know, Joe Montana, the end of the career, Joe Montana to start a couple. But otherwise, the Chiefs always had, you know, journeyman type guys, Matt Castle and Elvis Gerbach and Steve Bono. You know, they never could really match the other team's power at quarterback. And, you know, now I think they can. You know, Pat Mahomes obviously has tons to prove and tons to accomplish before he's had the career that Tom Brady has had, but you know, he can hold his season up to any that Brady's had over Brady's long career. I mean, 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. I mean, Brady's never done that in a season. So you know, maybe the Chiefs finally have that kind of guy.
Yeah, and I think that that can happen. I mean, it's amazing to see how composed he was in his first playoff game. I mean, did that kind of catch you, not by surprise, because he's been that way all season long. And again, the one thing, I've never seen a stat like this, is that he goes 17 games and he doesn't score, have one game where he scores less than 26.
Yeah, it's amazing for a first-year starter. And no, I wasn't surprised. Yeah, just, you know, I've been talking to people close to him, his family, his teammates, you know, those type of people. And the picture you get is that he was born for this kind of thing. You know, he was born for the big moments. You know, he was just made for this. So whether it's his background as a, you know, he's a former baseball player's son, so he spent time hanging around baseball players when he was a kid, and just seems to get it. He seemed to spend his time when he was a kid soaking up all this knowledge and just sort of understands how it goes. And I saw a stat that was incredible. You know, when he's under pressure, his QBR was by far the best in the league for quarterbacks under pressure, you know, in pass rush pressure, and way better than a lot of veteran quarterbacks, guys like Brady and Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers and a lot of veteran type guys. I mean, his QBR in those situations was just so much better than a lot of those veterans, and just tells you that he, you know, he just doesn't seem to flinch in those moments.
Yeah, I'll tell you the thing. The biggest scene that I saw the last time I saw you in Kansas City was, you know, in that game, that home game the last I was there, was watching him after he was leaving. Because again, you look at him with the hair and all that stuff. I mean, you think, oh yeah, he's kind of like a big prima donna star. But I saw him walking out with his wife, and I think they have a kid. And it's like he's, you know, it's almost like he was a fan. I mean, you couldn't really tell. I mean, it was so subtle, you know, no big show or anything like that. But, I mean, you look at his wife and you look at him, and it's like he just looks like the common man.
Yeah. I mean, he just seems to get it. He understands his place in this whole thing. You know, last year when he was drafted, you know, the first time the Chiefs had drafted a quarterback in 34 years, right? And, you know, so he could have walked in and basically tried to own this town on the spot. But you know what? He understood his place on the team, that it wasn't his team yet, that Alex Smith was still the quarterback. And you know, he just sort of tried to blend in with the wallpaper last year, you know, which I thought was really interesting for a 21, you know, came in here, he was 21 years old, but he kind of knew what the deal was. And, you know, it's one of those deals where, you know, once Alex Smith was traded, then he sort of assumed the role. But basically, he just tried to be one of the guys last year. And, you know, I thought that showed some pretty good maturity for a guy who was a, you know, a first-round quarterback and really you know, first one for the Chiefs in a long time.
Well, what I like was the way the coaches handled it, too, because their thought was, okay, we want him to learn so much from Alex Smith. And again, Alex having done this in San Francisco with Colin Kaepernick, is that, you know, Alex didn't obviously work on his mechanics or anything like that, but just taught him what it's like to be an NFL quarterback. It's like, here's the time you should get here for the meeting. Here's the time you should arrive at the stadium. Here's the best way that you should try to approach it, talking to the media. I mean, just educated him to a point that, and he took everything in, and, you know, not one point during those 16 weeks of waiting did he cause a stir. He just seemed to be so respectful and so much of a learning guy.
Yeah, and you know, there has been a lot made of how a year with Alex Smith was good for Pat Mahomes, and it's true, it was. I mean, Pat Mahomes had a, you know, front row view of a true professional and how he got it done, and a true team guy. But you know, it's equally as true that Pat Mahomes was as good for was also good for Alex Smith, and you know, talked about some of the reasons why earlier that he just sort of really respected Alex Smith's place on the team, and that's something you see a lot from young quarterbacks. So you know, it was you know, it was kind of a win-win for both of those guys, really.
I'll tell you, the other thing that's very interesting about this championship series, the two games, I don't think I've ever seen a Friday or injury report like we saw yesterday. I mean, there was only three players on the injury report, and the only starter missing is going to be Ben Watson in New Orleans because of his appendicitis. I know they list him as questionable, but it looks like he's not going to play. I don't think I've ever seen this many healthy teams this late in the season.
Yeah, it is interesting, and you know, I think one of the things you can point to is that all four of the teams had the bye a couple weeks ago, and I know certainly in the case of the Chiefs, that really helped them heal up a little bit. So I'm sure it was the case for the other three teams, but yeah, it was an interesting deal as far as the injuries go.
Okay, so now, schematically, what do you think that the Chiefs did in the first game against the Patriots and they will try to do now as far as trying to contain Tom Brady?
Yeah, well, it's always tough to predict a Bill Belichick game because he seems to morph his team each week into something new. So you're never quite sure what to expect out of him. You know, but here's the thing, and we talked about it earlier, John, the Chiefs haven't scored less than 26 points all season long, and I don't know why that would change tomorrow. And you also look at the history between Reed and Belichick since Reed's been with the Chiefs. They played four times, three of the games in New England, one in Kansas City. Each team's won two. But the most interesting thing is that the Chiefs have scored 40 or more points in three of the four games. So that tells you a little bit about, you know, Reed seems to have some success against Belichick's defense. I'm not expecting the Chiefs to score 40 tomorrow, but I think they will put some points on the board. So to me, it comes down to what it usually comes down to this year for the Chiefs and their opponent is, can the other team keep up? And that's kind of what I'm wondering about is whether the Patriots will be able to keep up with the Chiefs. The New England scored about 11, I think it was about 11 and a half points less on the road than they did at home this year. And that's quite a gap. And they went, as we know, the Patriots went 3-5 against on the road versus 8-0 at home. So this doesn't look, you know, they're going to have to. Patriots are going to have to play better on the road than they have in quite some time.
Oh, no doubt. I think it's going to be fun, and I don't know. I just have that feeling. Yeah. Now, by the way, just final update on the weather, because I decided to stay home because when I heard about the Arctic blast, I said, I think I'm going to stick around here and not make the trip.
Yeah.
But, you know, so let's put it this way. I just envision how bad it would be at the airport Marriott in KC trying to get the ice off the car. It's like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Well, I don't have that option. I'll be out there tomorrow. But, you know, they were talking about early in the week, maybe this being one of the coldest games in NFL history, but it's not going to be. I saw a weather report this morning that had the game time kickoff game temperature being around 25 degrees and might get into the low 20s by the end of the game. So that's as bad as it's going to be. So not bad football weather. So it's certainly not going to be what they predicted.
It's going to be great. So, Adam, hey, thank you for taking the time as always. And I just have a feeling that we'll be seeing each other a week from Sunday at the Super Bowl.
I think the Chiefs are going to get it done as well.
Yeah. Hey, Adam, thank you so much.
Hey, anytime, John.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Give us a call here. Dave Grosby joining us at the top of the hour. And again, we're out at 11:30, so load up on those phones as we you know, get going. And, of course, I just think the home teams win. And, you know, and again, this is the lesson now for the Seahawks. You know, and you can see where the trends have been. I mean, it's now, this could end up up being the sixth consecutive year that the home team in the championship game has advanced to the Super Bowl. That means that if you're the visiting team, whether you're a number two seed, a number five seed, or whatever, your chances of winning aren't that good. And I think what it shows you, you know, how things are set up in the playoffs, because if you can get that number one seed, I mean, all you have to do is basically get one win. And that's what the Patriots have done for so often. I mean, for 31 of their 38 playoff games under Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, they've been at home. And so you get that bye week. You get that victory in the first playoff game. Now you're at home. Everything comes to you, and you advance. And so that's 10 straight times now going into this weekend that the home team has been able to win in the championship game. And so if you're Seattle, I mean, you realize, okay, great season. You win 10 games. You get the bye, you get the in the wild card round, and then you try to make do of it. But you know, to win three road games is tough. To win one road game is tough in the playoffs. I mean, it happened with the first week where there was three wins, but you notice they all got eliminated last week. And so this is the challenge now is that what do you do if you're the Seahawks? You're now a 10-win team. What do you do to get the two more wins, and what do you do to hold back the Los Angeles Rams? And so you look at the Rams, and the Rams, you know, very well are going to lose probably three or four starters on defense. I don't think they're going to re-sign Ndamukong Suh. I don't know if they can get LaMarcus Joyner done. I think that there's a good chance that they're going to lose Aqib Talib because they're going to have the cap room issues. So you throw all that together, and can you make up that three-game difference? And I think they can. I mean, but, you know, they need to add a pass rusher. They need to do different things and, you know, add some depth in the secondary and that linebacker. You do that. You add a few things on offense, and then you're there. And so I think that that's the challenge that John Snyder has and Pete Carroll has in coaching him up, but I think it's all doable. I mean, no different than the Chargers. The only difference with the Chargers was that, they win 9 out of the last 12 games. They come back and they win 12 games this year. They just didn't get the tiebreaker. And by not getting the tiebreaker, they conceded to Kansas City. Because I would contend, even though they don't have much home field advantage at the StubHub, that the Chargers could be in the Super Bowl with Phillip Rivers had they got the number one seed. Let's go to Chris in Everett. Hey, Chris.
Hey, John. How you doing today, man?
Doing great.
Yeah, I love your show, man. Like, you know, like Danny David Moore show and all that. I always listen to you guys. They're all on my half or 7-10. I'm a big fan of you, John. I need even more too. So.
Oh, great!
And I just came on. So, anyways, what do you think about this weekend? And who, you know, I know you're always honest on, like, on the radio here. So, which teams might go to the Super Bowl? Do you think Kansas City?
I think the two home teams. I think it's going to be Kansas City going against New Orleans. Because both have such firepower and, you know, with the crowd and the quarterbacks and everything there, I just think both teams get to the Super Bowl.
Oh, how about the Rams? Maybe not.
They're on the road. They're on the road. Yeah. And you notice they're not as good on the road as they are at home.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, so anyway, I'm not sure if you heard about this. They're going to start filming Ghostbusters 3.
I heard that.
Reunite. Oh, you did?
I did. I mean, yeah, somebody brought that up to me this week. I think that's great.
Yeah, I know. I'm really excited for the movie. It's their 35th anniversary this year, so I'm not sure if you're a fan or not. So,
no, I am. I love that movie. I thought it was great.
Yeah. Who my CGI Harold Ramis.
Yeah.
That's a maybe. Well, it's going to come out next summer. So, anyway.
Who's all going to be in it right now? Who's committed?
What?
Who's all committed to go into it?
It's been on Facebook for about, 4 days. And, I'm like, whoa, are you serious? The third one?
Mm-hmm.
It's the original cast is coming back.
Oh,
they're all
great.
In right now.
That's good news. I love it. Hey, thank you for the phone call.
Yeah, okay, bye.
All right, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.